This is the Arab Daily News Podcast, www.thearabdailynews.com.
Hi, I'm Rehan Ania.
And I am Ali Yunus.
And this is the Arab Daily News Online Newspaper Podcast at www.thearabdailynews.com. Ali, there was an interesting story that really has attracted a lot of attention that you wrote. And the way I understand it was a few weeks ago, a Jordanian judge was traveling either to the West Bank or from the West Bank.
He was going to the West Bank,
and he got into a argument with the Israeli soldiers, and the Israelis just shot him dead. They killed him. And it was, right. I know for several weeks there were some stories about it, but we never heard anything about any apology or anything from Israel. And then this yesterday or this week, Israel's president, Shimon Peres, told the King Abdullah II of Jordan that he regretted the death and expressed his condolences. Now, some people thought that was an apology, and some people thought it wasn't. What is the story about? What's the big hoopla all about?
Well, the story started actually last week, March 10. March 10 was I believe, Monday, when Jordanian magistrate judge, Amman magistrate judge Raed Zoaiter, was going into the city of Nablus in the West Bank on his way there. And this is, we have two different versions of events, two different stories. I will start with the Israeli story, who said that the judge was threatening to them. First, they said he held a bar, he was going to hit the soldiers, or he went to try to grab the gun from the soldiers when they shot him and killed him. Now, that's the Israeli version of events.
Right, and there's no, and just let me interrupt here, there's no video or anything of this, right? We're just going by what the Israelis,
right.
You've been through security, I'm sure, as I have, and they control everything. I mean, the idea that you or I, let's say if we're passing through security, that we would start fighting with them, they're armed to their teeth, the Israeli soldiers.
Right. And there are cameras there, but we haven't seen any video cameras or anything
that. So there are.
At least they're not public.
Right. So there is some, if the Israelis wanted to end this issue, they could provide the video and we could see what really happened.
Yes.
How important is he in Jordanian society? I mean, what would be the equivalent if the Israelis shot an American official, for example? Be like a congressman, a state representative, an alderman from Chicago? How significant is he?
Well, he's very significant within the Jordanian society. He is a magistrate judge, which is really prestigious, not only in Jordan, but I think everywhere in the world, because you're a member of the judiciary. You decide, you rule over people's disputes and perhaps lives, and you are held, with high esteem, and you studied the law, and he has a PhD in legal studies, obviously in law. So he was on his way to the city of Nablus there for maybe some family or social reasons. His family originally from Nablus. Nevertheless, he's a Jordanian citizen, a judge, member of the judiciary, and I believe that the Jordanian government, should have acted in a way to protect not just an average citizen. And he was not just an average citizen,
right,
but also a judge, which speaks, volumes of why the Jordanian government acted the way it acted in this, an unfortunate incident.
And he's Palestinian, correct?
Yeah, he is Palestinian, but Jordanian citizen.
Right. No, and I understand that there are a lot of, I don't know what the exact percentage is, but there's a significant Palestinian population in Jordan that are loyal to the Jordan, that many of them identify as being Jordanian. He happened to have family in Nablus that he was going to go visit or whatever. How does that play into the issues that you've been writing about at the Arab Daily News about some Jordanian legislators trying to crack down on, the identity of Palestinians and their role in Jordan? Does that have anything to do with this? Is there a prejudice against him?
I think with this particular issue, right, I'm sure there are, you know, as you know, and a lot of people know that there are political identity issues in Jordan. I'm talking about political identities.
Right.
Not, you know, social or ethnic or religious, because Jordanian society, whether Palestinian or Jordanian, basically are the same people. But they have different political identities. Palestinians identify themselves as Palestinians, and to some extent, you know, just Palestinians. But for the vast majority of Palestinians in Jordan are Jordanians by act of constitution, because West Bank of in Palestine was part of Jordan.
So that's that.
So a lot of people have roots and family there.
Right. So from the Jordanian side, it's not a matter of whether he's Palestinian or Jordanian. This guy was a Jordanian official, and he was killed at the Israeli border. Do you think that the Israelis distinguish between Palestinians and Jordanians? I mean, you think they would have done this had it been a Jordanian, or do you think it not matter? Or, I mean, Amnesty International.
It did not matter. It did not matter. Because
to them, they just did it.
At the crossing the bridge, you know, you are basically waiting for the Israeli border police or soldiers to give you permission to go on your way. And I don't know what happened exactly, but we have the press accounts, like I've mentioned in the beginning, that the Israeli says, well, he was a threatening,
right?
He was argumentative, and, you know, basically the Israeli version advanced the argument that they feared for their lives. The soldiers.
Was the judge armed?
Obviously not. But, you know, the argument is that essentially it was a lawful killing in self-defense against an unarmed civilian, individual.
Yeah.
The eyewitness account said that the judge was, obviously he was upset about something, arguing with the soldiers, but he was never at any point threatening to them. Obviously, in any civilian common sense, I would not be threatening an armed soldier anyway.
The Israeli account of the story doesn't seem to make sense at all. I mean,
right.
This Judge Rod Zeiter, how do you pronounce his last name?
Zeiter. And his father is a retired judge in Jordan, too.
And so he was well known. I mean, you know, it wasn't like the Israelis didn't know who he was. I mean, with the relations between Jordan and Israel, they know everything about people crossing. Do we have any idea what it was that angered him, allegedly, that according to the Israelis, he got upset? But
what's so bad about this case is we rely on eyewitness cases. Although Shimon Peres said, and the Israeli government said, and the Jordanian government, there's a joint investigation. But what you see here, the dynamics, the way it works,
right,
is that the government of Israel is trying to do the Jordanian government a favor by issuing these statements.
Because there are a lot of
angry... statement of regrets.
Right.
Because the Jordanian public is very angry.
Jordan didn't do anything when this guy was killed. Did they do anything? There was talk that they were going to throw the Israeli ambassador out of the Israeli embassy in Amman. Did that ever happen?
Yeah. The Jordanian will never do anything. The Jordanian government cannot do anything because it depends so much on aid, foreign aid. And also, it is a politically weak country that, you know, cannot stand up because it's dependent on others' goodwill. And Israeli peace between Jordan and Israel is so strategic for the Jordanians and for the Israelis that they will not let an incident like this, even if it means the unfortunate death of a really bright young judge, disturbed that peace between the two countries. So this incident, in my opinion, will not disturb the peace between the two countries, will not, you know, ruin the strategic relations, whether intelligence, military, economic, because the both governments, they don't want that to happen. They want to keep the relation going.
Right.
But the Jordanian public, on the other hand, you know, is so angry. It doesn't matter, you know, what background you have, Palestinian, Jordanian, Christian, Muslim. Everybody's angry with Israel for this brazen killing of an unarmed individual, you know, let alone a judge.
And I think I can understand that anger. I mean, for example, there was talk, many of the Jordanians and Palestinians, the people of Jordan, demanded that the Israeli ambassador be thrown out of Amman and that Jordan recall the Jordanian ambassador from Tel Aviv. They didn't do that. There was demands that Jordan do something. You know, and would you disagree, that if it had been reversed, if the Jordanians had killed an Israeli official, don't you think that the repercussions against Jordan would be huge? And then in spite of that, instead of responding to Israel, what does Jordan's government do? They start showing a show of force against the Jordanian demonstrators who were protesting the killing of Judge Zeidler. In other words, the Jordanians were willing to punish the people in Jordan for complaining about what Israel did, but it doesn't seem like they've done anything, you know, in response to what Israel did. That seems to be unfair. Isn't it frustrating if you're an Arab?
It is frustrating. It is very frustrating, especially in the minds of Jordanians, because it happened. So in the 90s, a Jordanian soldier killed several Israeli girls. You know, the story goes like they made fun of him. He was upset. They refused to leave the area he was guarding. He shot and killed seven or eight of them. The soldier, you know, is still in prison today. Now, after that incident, King Hussein flew to Tel Aviv to pay respect and condolences himself personally, apologizing and, you know, paying respect to the family of these young girls. Now, compare that reaction with the reaction of the Israeli government today. They did not even acknowledge that the Judge Zeidler was actually shot and killed. They say in their statement he died. It was just a matter of death.
Right.
Okay. And they did not even acknowledge that it was a soldier acted maybe inappropriately or unlawful killing. Instead, they say, well, we'll pay condolences. It is unfortunate. It is a regrettable incident. We deal this with regret, but never apologize, never acknowledge that he was killed.
That brings us to your story, which is at the Arab Daily News, and we'll give it a plug at www.thearabdailynews.com, where you and I are both editors there. Your story pointed out a very subtle but very important fact. The Israelis expressed regret. The Arabs, and that was through President Shimon Peres, not from Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister.
Both they did that.
They expressed regret.
Yes.
And
did that.
But the Jordanian government then said that the Israelis apologized. And there is a very important difference between me saying to you, Ali, I regret what I did, or we regret. They didn't even say, we regret what we did. They said, we regret that he was killed, correct?
Yes.
That's not an apology. Is that an apology?
No. In other words, they are saying, it is what happened. It was unfortunate.
Right.
That's what regret means. It was just unfortunate.
And that's
what happened.
And that's so
that's
much
not an apology. That's not even acknowledging that there was a crime took place. Not even acknowledging that, you know, Israel might be at fault. Instead, and they are in cahoot with the Jordanian government on this too. Jordanian government is just trying to put the fires down in Jordan because everybody's upset about it.
Right.
The Jordanian parliament, in my opinion, is not really a real parliament. It's just a rubber stamp parliament. They blow a lot of noise, a lot of hot air, a lot of steam, but never really real actions, because such parliaments in countries like Jordan, you know, Middle Eastern countries, they're not even real democracies to speak of. You know, Jordan is okay. It's stable. It's secure. There's no democracy there. And the king is good. You know, he's not bloody. He's not brutal. But nevertheless, Jordan is not a democracy. So the Jordanian parliament, only 59 people attended the session out of 150 last week. And yesterday, I think it was major attendance. I don't know the numbers, how many attended the session. It was today.
Right.
But they dropped their demands to drop the Israeli ambassador out of Jordan, to kick the Israeli ambassador out of Jordan, who's really not there. He's in Tel Aviv. And they dropped their demand to cancel the peace treaty, and they dropped the other demand to release the Jordanian soldier who was, you know, accused and then convicted of killing the Israeli girls in the 1990s. So, you know, it's really on the Jordanian side, people are left with a lot of anguish and anger against their supine government.
But the talkbacks on our website through Facebook, I was reading some of them, and there were a number of people that, and it looks like they are Jordanian, who are saying this isn't true, that it was an apology, quit criticizing, you know, the Abdullah government, the Hashemites. What do you make of that? I mean, why are they so willing to not criticize Israel, or is it more, is it that they don't want to criticize Israel, or is it they just don't like criticism of King Abdullah?
Well, I think for Arab societies, I was given a lecture today at a university here in Michigan, and I was telling that the Arabs, you know, even since childhood curriculums, they're not trained as young children to do critical thinking.
Right.
Curriculums do not encourage, you know, students to think critically and analytically and think for themselves. And, you know, everything they have to memorize and to have just to obey the power, you know, mindlessly. I think this case shows that Jordanians refused to accept that King Abdullah of Jordan was embarrassed by Israel because his palace issued a statement, his PR people, his media people issued a statement in Arabic saying that Israel apologized. Well, Israelis also issued a statement today, did not mention the word apology. They mentioned that Shimon Peres called King Abdullah and he paid his condolences, and I quote, condolences to the people of the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan. And it is regrettable what happened. And the statement continued by Peres saying that he called King Abdullah and discussed the peace between Israel and Palestinians. He discussed the ending the bloodshed in the region, and he discussed the stability of the region. And also he praised King Abdullah's vision, praised Jordan, praised King Abdullah's leadership in Jordan. That was the statement. And also they issued another statement about treating a Jordanian child, 7-year-old, in a hospital in Haifa.
Right.
So the Israeli
isn't that insulting to you as an Arab? I mean, you know, this idea that, oh, you know, they kill one of us, the Israelis, and then they said, hey, they don't even apologize, because believe me, I know English. We know what's going on here. The Israelis did not apologize. But even in the face of not apologizing, they want to patronize me and say, oh, and not only do we regret this, but look what we're doing for you, basically saying, why are you complaining? Why are the Arabs and Jordanians complaining about this? It's very insulting. You write in your column in the Arab Daily News, which, by the way, is titled, Israel Denies Jordanian Royal Court Claim that Israeli President Shimon Peres apologized over border murder, which is a phenomenal story, by the way, over 60,000 reads, and the day's not over, and 2,000 plus, shares on Facebook, and 1,000 shares on Twitter. So this is a big story. It can't be just brushed aside, but what do you think is going to happen? Will the Jordanian public just say, hey, this is the way it is in the Arab world, we never get any respect, the Israelis can shoot and kill anybody they want? You read the Amnesty International report that came out a few weeks ago. The Amnesty International said Israeli soldiers are trigger happy. They've killed more children over the past few years, you know, for protesting. They just shoot them. And the Israelis accept this. Isn't it frustrating?
But to me, what's more frustrating, Israelis, you know, they're trigger happy, we know that. They shoot and kill people, we know that. But anybody standing up for them, to them, you know, Jordanian government, they claim they have one of the best armies in the Middle East. They are a very stable country, and they have excellent relations with the West and with Israel. well, can't they stand up for their own citizens? I don't want them to stand up for me here in America,
right,
but I would like them to stand up for their own citizens for their own sake, you know, to save their, to save face, you know, because if a country cannot protect its citizens, you know, what good are they? What good are this government, you know, is? Israel, on the other hand, stands up for their citizens, you know, protect its citizens no matter what they do. And that's what a real country should do for their citizens. Unfortunately, here, this is a judge who lost his life and the Jordanian government failed him and failed his family. And then I also, you know, I blame the government of Jordan, and King Abdullah should have actually issued a statement in the beginning. And I wrote an article before that in the ArabDailyNews.com that King Abdullah did not issue a statement. He did not even comment. But he went to, a couple of days ago, he went to the family of the victim and just paid respect a week after he was shot and killed. To me, I think that's unacceptable. And this is something King Abdullah needs to address to his people. And I think his royal court, his people need to also be honest and truthful with the Jordanian people, not lie to them and tell them that Israel apologized, where in fact they did apologize, did not even acknowledge that the judge was killed, did not even acknowledge there was a crime, potentially a crime happened. You know, I'm saying potentially because, you know, I'm waiting for the investigation to take place, and they say the investigation, but we don't know who are the members of this investigation, who are on the Israeli side or on the Jordanian side.
Do you think they're,
it makes
me
a little suspicious.
Do you think we'll ever see a real investigation where we would be able to, you know, like they conduct here in the United States, the video is shown, the public will know what's happening. You know, it sounds like we'll never see that, and we just have to be frustrated and be angry. And you know, if there are more protests, it looks like the Jordanian, you know, military will be sent out, you know, to respond to the protesters. It's kind of disturbing. I have to tell you that this happens so often, and you understand why. You know, I mean, you can understand why people get upset. Nothing ever happens. You know,
that's true, but see, and also I blame the media there and journalists there. They should keep up the issue and watch over government actions, but they never do.
Are they covering this, or are they just kind of trying to let it brush it under the carpet?
Well, a lot of media outlets in Jordan, they are trying to do a cover up and do the government betting there, but some are not. But they lack facts. They lack a lot
right.
of information that they need to do. We were lucky here, and we did a lot of investigation work on this. We followed
right.
the story, and you know, our reporters we have, you know, in Jerusalem, we got connections there, and also in Washington, so we were able to get to the bottom of this,
right.
and you know, and write the story, you know, before anybody else has tried to touch it, even because everybody is busy with something else. But this story means a lot to our readership as well.
Well, we're looking forward to your next story on this. And I'm sure that maybe one aspect of it would be to, you know, demand that there be an open and transparent investigation so we know the truth. I mean, life was lost. And, you know, here in the United States, when we don't investigate something, we believe it's a statement that nobody cares about that life. And we need,
yes.
I'd like to see the Arabs stand up and say, we do care about, you know, the Amman Jordanian magistrate, Judge Raad Zeitar, who was shot and killed by Israeli soldiers last week at the Allenby Bridge, that they do care, that his life meant something, and that Arab life means something. You know, that's what the principle should
be. We should respect that. We should respect that, you know, Ray. And I'm sorry to cut you off, but, you know, people need to make a stand. I mean, whether he was killed as a crime or lawful, you know, that's besides the point, because really we need to make people responsible before they shoot and kill anybody, whether legally or illegally, because you know, these, like I said, Arab life or any life, whether Jewish, American, Christian, or Muslim,
right.
it's we should care about, you know, the life of people. But in this case, even the Jordanian government, which is the subject of our investigation, that we need to have them accountable. I'm not going to ask Israel to protect, you know, the people's lives, because that's not their responsibility, but we should hold them accountable. If they kill somebody illegally without even considering that this person is a real human being, not a dehumanized somebody.
And I hope that there is a full investigation. We need to know what the truth is. you know, and without an investigation, all we're going to have is this division where people say it's you know, attacking the story, saying it's lies. People attacking the Israelis. You would think that if I were Israeli, I would want a full, transparent investigation, show what the facts are, and that would be better. Even if they made a mistake, I would be less angry with the Israelis. You know, if they said, "Look, we had a soldier who just went off the deep end, and he made a mistake, and he's going to be punished." But, you know, anyway, listen, Ali, again, this is a great story. I just checked your statistics again, and you've now gone over 3,000 shares on Facebook. You know, so this is a story that is on, you know, this is the talk of the town, you know, in the Arab world. And, of course,
because it matters to them. It matters to them.
And
our newspaper matters to people because we write the stories that people don't try to touch or mess with. But, you know, we write the stories that matters to people and to our readership. And I think this is a clear example that real journalism, real brick-and-mortar journalism,
right,
still matters in this country instead of just writing about, you know, an entertainment, making the news more entertainment than actually real hard news.
It does matter. And I just want to thank you and everybody for listening. I'm Ray Hanania.
And I am Ali Yunus.
This has been the Arab Daily News Podcast, www.thearabdailynews.com.